Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, and welcome to a special monthly Wire People Into That educational segment sponsored by the Pleasure Chest. So, it's autumn, although with global warming, it's kind of hard to tell. Like, it's Scorpio season, and I'm wearing a tank top right now. But in theory, anyway, this is the time of year for reaping what you've sown. I know my friends at the Pleasure Chest are interested in decolonizing the idea of harvest celebrations, so we decided to dig into sexual power dynamics for our November episode. My guest today is Mary, a former Pleasure Chest staff member who still teaches kinky classes at the Los Angeles store. Hi, Mary.
Well, hello.
So, Mary, who are you and what do you do at slash what did you do at the Pleasure Chest?
I used to be the buyer at the Pleasure Chest.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there for a year and a half, but I love the Pleasure Chest. It's the whole community and the people there are still very close to my heart. Before I was at the Pleasure Chest, I was a pro dom for 10 years.
Oh, cool.
It was great. And it was really wonderful to put that on my resume and have that be a selling point.
Oh my gosh. I have also had that experience working with them. It is really amazing to work with a company that sees that as an asset instead of a hindrance, which is obviously what it is.
Yeah, when I applied, it was, you're like, oh, great, we really need a dom on staff. But buying for them was a fantastic experience. I also worked on the floor for a number of years, and then I started doing the buying, and it was so great to, you know, go to all of the sex toy shows and just work in the adult industry. Was a very... I wouldn't say liberating experience because I've always been drawn towards jobs where I'm able to talk about sex, and that's why I was a dom for so long.
Yeah.
To be a professional and to also be having, you know, conversations about G-spots and flogging, you know, while you're at a convention or whatever. It was really great. I really loved my time there. And I still get to teach. So that's really great. And, that's where I'm at.
Cool. So what do you do when you're not at the Pleasure Chest, or I guess I should say, what have you been getting up to when, you know, since you left that position at the Pleasure Chest?
I left because I just started popping out all these kids. I have two kids. I have two young kids, and I had a lot of family health things going on with parents. And so it just became the kind of thing where I needed to really focus in on my family.
Cool.
And that's what I've been basically doing. And it's interesting to go from, you know, such an incredibly adult world to such an incredibly child world.
Yeah.
But I definitely, keep in touch with everybody and teaching the classes and doing things like this, like having like a serious adult conversation is really great.
So what do you do in your free time? I imagine that this time of year with kiddos, there's a lot of pumpkin carving and trick-or-treating planning and costume planning.
Yeah, I mean, on the side, I am a very crafty person.
Fun.
So I get excited this time of year to do the costumes and to do every year I do a puppet show performance for my friends. So I'm like working on these elaborate puppets. I'm going to have this moon that can like sing song. You know, it's going to be just a lot of like silliness and, but darkness also. I do very dark Christmas time puppet shows.
Oh, good. Well, that's important for people of all ages to embrace darkness, I think.
No, it's like, and it's the darkest time of year, literally. So
yeah.
Right. Well, the darkness.
Me too. Well, it sounds like we have many things in common, and an obsession with domination and submission and power play is probably chief among them. So you mentioned that you do still teach classes at the Pleasure Chest, and I know that on November 29th, you are teaching a workshop about domination and submission at the West Hollywood Los Angeles Pleasure Chest store. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, and it's one of my favorite classes because it's, for me, it gets down to the fundamentals of who you are. Mm. When it comes to kink and DS, it's always about, you know, this is something that we're performing and doing every single day. And that throughout history, every human interaction has some sort of DS relationship, except almost all of it is unconsensual.
Right.
And now you have this opportunity to play in a consensual way, you know, possibly even with people that you're very much in love with or that they're in love with you. And so you have a very safe space to practice and play with all of these things that we're forced to do constantly. And it is almost like a part of the age of enlightenment for me, where as we progress in our societal kind of coming of age and maturing, we are able to use things like consent to play and take away all of this, the harshness of just having to deal with, you know, the power structure with your boss or your family or, you know, even to like, you know, unconsensual violence and historically that's such a huge just conundrum of dealing with so much dominance and submission that that was not fun. So let's take this thing and make it ours. And there's even a way of, I think, of healing from all of this unconsensual DS that we've had to deal with when we play in a safe space with our own. We can rewrite our own narratives. And I just find it a very enlightening, healing thing. Like kink is a, to me, it's a mature, fun thing to do, you know?
Well, you're singing my song, mistress, I have to tell you. That is an amazing philosophy of BDSM in general and erotic power dynamics specifically. I'm wondering if you can give us even more of a taste or a preview of the kinds of things that you go over in your workshop, either as an enticement for folks in the LA area to come to your November 29th workshop, or for the folks who are not in that area to get a little bit of a sense of what that workshop is like.
Sure. So, I mean, the beginning part of it is a basic beginners kind of like dominance and submission class. So I always start going over, you know, the basics of BDSM. What are those like letters even stand for? Mm. And the mantras of like rack and safe, sane, and consensual. Mm. And getting into just the language of what we're talking about. And what comes up with that automatically, safe, sane, and consensual, risk aware, consensual kink, consensual keeps coming up.
Yeah.
And defining consent, because even like what I would have told you consent means 10 years ago, it's changed now.
Yeah.
You know, having this amazing social conversation about what consent is. I mean, we just have like all this Harvey Weinstein thing.
Totally.
Like another big conversation about consent, and I love it. You know, so yeah. We define really what is consent. And I recommend that people have safe words in all of their relationships.
So you know, smart.
You don't have to be kinky, you know, and I have a safe word with my partner where it's like, sometimes you just want to tap out.
Yeah.
And that's great because I, you know, if I'm no longer consenting to this, let's stop, take a break, breathe, recoup. and come back. But so we start with that. And then I try to really get into, you know, we've seen so much of BDSM in the media, of what kink means, right? It means that you're a serial killer. It means that you're a joke. It means that you're a freak. Yeah. You know, all of these things, these are the things that we're told. And and we're also told that there's certain ways to do it. You got to wear black.
Right.
You got to, you know, do this and that.
You got to spend a lot of money.
Yeah. And I tell them, like, the most common question I get when I tell somebody that, you know, I was a dom for so long or whatever, they're always like, how do you not just laugh?
I get that a lot too.
Right. And it's a fair question because of what they've seen. And I tell them, well, actually, most of the time I am laughing. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of silly situations. And there's a lot of, like, you know, especially when you're humiliating somebody, it's hilarious. You know, so laugh, you have a good time. And if you're being serious, you're still having a good time.
Yes.
So I try to, like, really, like, let's relieve ourselves from these things that we've seen and what we think, how we need to act. And once I get into that space, then the whole process of the rest of the class is figuring out what kind of dom are you? What kind of sub are you? Because there's billions of people in the world and there's billions of ways to be a dom and billions of ways to be a sub. So how are you going to do it? So we start going through, and it's kind of workshop-y, and where the class goes depends a lot on who shows up to the class. So we talk about what makes a dom. What are they wearing? How are they holding their body? And I go through these different things like costume, body, you know, how you're sounding, what words are you saying, and what actions are you doing? So we just break it down and everybody writes down, what they envision for themselves, you know? So I feel most powerful when I'm wearing leather pants. Or I feel most powerful when I'm wearing a suit, you know? So it's about asking yourself the questions and finding out, you know, who you are and where you are.
Well, I love that. I agree with that philosophy completely. I think that a lot of people explore their dominant side or their submissive side, and they think that they have to shoehorn their desires or identity into something that they've seen and or something that they and something that they feel that they have to live up to. And I think it's really revolutionary to guide people into developing their own personal style, because that seems to me the most organic way for power to flow is when you feel that it is coming from an expression of who you really are, instead of trying to conform to something that might not actually be the right fit.
Definitely. And it bleeds over into every aspect of life. You know, it's like if you could relate it to like fashion or something. The people who really do fashion well are the people that are true to themselves, true to, like, you know, how their body is, how they want to present themselves, how they are, and that coming through, like, the symbolism of fashion.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with DS and really any other part of your life. The most powerful people that you meet, the most interesting people, are the ones that are the most true to themselves. And that's the whole process. Even, like, you know, for myself, you know, and I'm sure you too, you can practice your whole life in the kink world, and you can hone, you know, your dominatrix side or your submissive side. But it's always a work in progress because we're always moving and changing. And it definitely can gain more power over time. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing. For me, kink is a human right.
Agreed.
Sexuality is your human right. To let it come out and to be yourself and to let it flourish is just, it's such a beautiful thing. It's part of why I loved being a dom, and then I love being at the Pleasure Chest. It's a political, you know, human right issue for me, and it's an honor to be a part of the movement that's going on right now.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but
Well, and a lot of different people are going to be listening to this too. And there are going to be some people who have a lot of experience and I think are going to be nodding along to this. And then I think there are going to be some people who are listening to this podcast and listening to this episode because they're curious, because they're yearning, or and maybe they have had some experiences, but they want to embody a different aspect of BDSM. You know, maybe they've had professional experiences and they want to have personal, or personal and they want to have professional, or maybe they've been dominant and they want to explore being submissive, or they have a new partner that they have a different dynamics with. And I love what you said too about being open to the fact that things are constantly changing, and also excited about the fact that your expressions of power are going to change as you change throughout your life. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah. And it's, when teaching this class, it's the kind of thing where you're, people want you to tell them the answer.
Right.
And it's kind of feels like this, you know, hippie crystally thing, but like, look within you, my child.
Yes.
You have to go inwards and find the answer in yourself. And I try to give people the tools to be able to think more about that and to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I hope, you know, as maybe annoying that answer might be, if you just wanted like to be told how to do it right.
Yeah.
And then to be told there's no right way other than like the consent part.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a little bit annoying for some people, but hopefully then it gets into this space where like you're liberated by it, you know, and then you can just really be yourself and find the true power within you. It's kind of a little Matrix-y.
Cool.
That's why Tiffany Kingsters love the Matrix.
True. Well, and all of the fetish clothes in there as well. Lots of shiny leather.
Yeah,
cat suits. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So because you were the buyer at the Pleasure Chest, I'm sure you are intimately familiar with all of the inventory related to BDSM. So I would love to know, what are some great toys and gear to get from the Pleasure Chest that you would recommend? Let's first say toys and gear that you would recommend for someone who is just starting out exploring DS.
If you're just starting out, well, especially for new DOMs,
yeah.
I think there's a DOM's best friend is a blindfold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It automatically heightens the situation.
Yes.
It brings them very present into the situation. And then it also makes it so that your sub cannot see you fall. Or fumble with your ropes.
Right, right.
Or trying to just frantically figure out what the hell you're going to do. So everybody should have blindfolds are just fun in general. So,
is there a particular blindfold that you just love?
Yeah, I think it's called... there's two blindfolds that have very similar names at the Pleasure Chest. One's called the Ultimate Blindfold and one's called the Ultra Blindfold. And I don't remember which is which, but my favorite one, it's one of those. It starts with a U. It's one has, there's two straps on it.
Okay.
Which is great because if you've ever put on a blindfold that has one strap, it immediately goes down or up because your head's round.
Right.
Know? So two straps keeps it in place. It's great. And they're stretchy and elastic. And then they have pads over the eyes. that make it so you will not be able to peek and keeps your eyelids closed. So that's my favorite one. And it's hot. It's leather. I'm Mr. Vegan. And that's not so hot. But it's not too pricey. It's well-made.
Cool.
Otherwise, it's like, depending on what you're going to be doing, you know, a collar is a great symbolic way to get yourself into play.
Yes.
Especially if you're partnered with someone or living with them, it's hard to sometimes like say, okay, now we're going to start, or, you know, at the beat, we'll start playing.
Mm.
So that the collar can help with that.
It's like a ritual tool.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a visual. We're very symbolic creatures.
Yes.
And those sorts of things can make a big difference. And if the collar doesn't do it for you, I would recommend some other kind of outfit that would do it for you, or just something that could. Maybe it's that when I put on these, you know, horn-rimmed glasses, I'm now a dom.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it's going to be. Or, you know, I love cat suits, so that's where I go. But that might be a little much for a first-time person. there's... Also, there's a great paddle from Aslan that I don't remember the name of right now, but it's a leather paddle it's a slapper style paddle. Makes a great cracking noise even if you don't use it well.
drama.
And it goes from 0 to 60, mm-hmm. So you can have a very light play, you can have very heavy play, and it's wide enough that, you know, you're probably not going to bruise somebody unless you're really going for it. It's a great beginner's one. I have it in my toolkit, and even as a very, you know, experienced person, I love it because it's so versatile.
I love everything made by Aslan Leather, so.
They're great. So, I mean, yeah, that would be it's a great way to shop. Like, what do we have in there from Aslan? They have the great cuffs.
Yes.
Of different sizes.
They have the best harnesses, too.
Yes, wonderful harness.
And it's all queer owned and made, so yes. That's always a good plus.
Definitely. And they're very, the leather's always soft.
Mm-hmm.
The hardware is always high quality. It's wonderful stuff. And really, it's not that much more expensive than, like, you know.
Yeah, it's a great price point.
Whatever. And sport sheets can be great for whatever you want to do also. I love under the bed restraint system.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? Those are great. I love throwing those in a suitcase for travel, because then any hotel bed is a dungeon.
Yeah. And I'm always like, you know, I have like the companies that I particularly like, but I don't knock, you know, like the cheaper stuff either, because everything has its place. I love those rubber band floggers.
Yeah.
Because they're always so cool feeling. So if you like really heat somebody up, you can use that, and it's a nice sensation. There's just everything has its place. So
yeah, that's smart.
But I would really recommend whatever catches your eye. Just don't get something that's really hard to use right off the bat.
Right, right.
And if you're going to get a flogger or something, get one with shorter tails. Mm-hmm. And I always recommend practicing on pillows.
Yes.
Or you practice on a person, because you can see where you hit and, you know, get a feel for it. And we do some classes at the Pleasure Chest also, of like, you know, I'll do like intro flogging or basics and stuff like that. So you can get really an idea of how to start these things.
Amazing. So what about the seasoned kinkster who finds themselves in the Pleasure Chest and thinks that they have everything? What would you recommend to really blow someone's mind who has been in the scene for a long time, or maybe wants to try a different aspect of DS?
Well, I mean, seasoned kinksters, I feel like, are still always going to be into a unique toy.
True.
And the Pleasure Chest really works hard to find those craftsmen that make the really great high quality BDSM toys. So I'm not sure exactly what they have going right now, because it's been about a year and a half since I've been buying. But I know that we always looked for the people that are making just the beautiful wooden paddles, the really wonderful single tails. We have these great Cocobolo round-handled floggers that are really good for Florentine or double flogging. So they just fit in the hand so well. So it's like a ball on the end, and then you have like a kind of divot where you can rest between your two first fingers. And then it just like rolls off as you're rotating the flogger. It's really satisfying to hold.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Yeah, that sort of thing is really great. And then the outfits are always there. I'm always, every time I go into the pleasure chest, just checking out what the new clothing stuff is.
I know. They have really good fetish gear, like fetish attire. And there's always new, interesting latex. I like haven't bought a new latex piece in a long time. And sometimes when I go into the pleasure chest, I'm like, maybe it's time.
Yeah. I would like to say that I definitely help with that aspect.
Well,
it's always been fashion forward, but I feel like I was like, how about more black? Or whatever. I try to bring in colors also. I feel like fetish is getting more diverse in its palette.
Agreed. I talked about that with Coco last time, actually.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. And even with the implements, mm-hmm. I like more, you know, stuff that isn't always red and black, you know, like a lot more like natural colors in the leathers and things like that. It's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. So the next thing that I want to ask you is a little bit seasonal. You know, So I want to ask you a little bit about the service aspect of domination and submission. And when I'm describing kinky service and what that means to people, like someone who is in service to someone 24/7 or maybe for the duration of a certain play party or a certain weekend event, I often use the examples of the five love languages, right? Like two of the love languages are acts of service and giving and receiving gifts, right? Are you familiar with those?
I'm not intimately, I'm vaguely familiar.
Right. So basically I'm finding myself, as we approach the holidays, which is not really my favorite time of year, I'm finding myself trying to take a kinky approach to thinking about power dynamics and their role in a lot of the holidays that we tend to celebrate in the West, and how we choose to celebrate them, like giving and receiving gifts and consuming. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on ways that people can use what they learn and experience from DS to create new power dynamics this holiday season.
You mean power dynamics outside of their intimate relationships?
I mean, I guess within the relationships that they're having kinky power exchanges with, but then also, I mean, it sounds like you are somebody who really feels that the things that you learn through those consensual adult kinky relationships can then sort of translate metaphorically into the rest of your life.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, it's especially in those kind of DS relationships where the submissive is actually, and the dominant too, actually very concerned or oriented towards service and really thinking about what their partner actually wants, which is a certain type of kink. I mean, you don't have to necessarily be doing that level in order to be having like a fun DS relationship, because it could be like, you know, you fetishize like a certain idea of service, like cleaning or something, but it's not about the cleaning and it's not actually about pleasing your dom with the cleaning. It's about the act of cleaning.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, but ultimately, whether you're in that spectrum or you're deeply concerned and into just very pleasing your partner, either way, it's really always experiential. And so much of our life, especially around this time of year, is, like you were saying, about consuming and about objects and collecting things and then throwing those things away, collecting more things and hoarding and all of this stuff. And I've always been a very experiential oriented person. And to really think about, you know, what kind of experience are we going to have versus what kind of object can I give you to show my love? But what kind of experience can we undertake in order to, you know, show my love or appreciation or whatever it is, devotion?
Yeah, I really relate to that.
Yeah, it's really important. And a lot of times this, you're right, around this season, we get very focused on, you know, all of the objects. And, yeah. You know, maybe you can objectify yourself and give that as a present.
Yes.
or what I, like thinking more about the experience of things and maybe getting into showing your devotion in other ways, whether it's through whatever kind of session, you know, you might have, or a, even like, you know, I'm a crafty person, but, making things or writing things, spending time, thinking about your partner rather than spending time shopping.
I love that.
Although some dots are like, no, we're going shopping. And that's—
Well, I mean, that feels related to me to the subject of consent, right? It's not, you know, sometimes the things that we do within the context of consensual BDSM resemble or bring to mind some of the power structures that we want to undermine with our play, right? Like using like ravishment or force in sex, right? Like that's not, you know, so in the same way that a ravishment scene is not perpetuating rape culture if everyone involved is consenting, a consensual financial domination shopping scene indulging in fetish gear, going on a shopping spree at the pleasure chest in order to please yourself or to please one another or to please your dominant is not reinforcing capitalism, it's reclaiming it.
Sure. I totally agree, because you, rather than playing into it, you're playing with it.
Mm-hmm,
yep. Mm-hmm. So you are able to take control of it and make it your own. You're the one in charge because it's consensual.
Agreed.
I actually have, from my childhood and everything, I have a very strained relationship with money. I don't like talking about money. I don't like asking for money. I feel uncomfortable when people give me gifts. But if I'm in that dom situation,
yeah,
there's that kind of financial domination, oh, finally I can relax and just be like, yeah, you're gonna buy me that, you know.
I totally relate to that, and I find that's true about a lot of different things. Like you were saying, we're such symbolically driven people, and money is just a symbol. And there are so many things that I'm aware that I have been socialized to be alienated from my power with relation to money, or I even like high heel, you know, wearing high heels or any number, or sex itself or gender, any number of other things. But yeah, when I'm in my dom persona, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I deserve this.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm the greatest.
Exactly.
And the freedom to even say that. I mean, really, for me, being a Dom, I did it from the time I was 20 to the time I was 30. Mm. And it's really those, you know, formative years where you are, where I was trying to become the woman that I am, which is still a process. You're constantly becoming the woman that you are. So obviously I'm still in flux with that, but it's like, I really had so much to reconcile with the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And just being a female in the world.
Yeah.
And it really helped me understand how it all works. And
yeah.
So not that I have it all figured out, but I feel like I'm a stronger person because of it. I have had people be like, oh, but you're playing into the patriarchy because you are objectifying yourself.
Whatever, man.
Tending to these like men's needs. And it's like, but at the same time, are we ever outside of the patriarchy? And in this space, I am consensually playing with all of that. And it was very liberating for me. And it still lasts for me today. And also, when you play with DS in that way, you can spot it out in the world otherwise.
Man, you really just like, we need to have cocktails,
because
you just really keep, I agree with so much of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think we have, we see eye to eye on a lot of these things.
Yeah, we're
bi-coastal. Well, on that note, I feel like we could keep talking about all of these things for a long time, and I'm sure that we will, but that is about all the time that we have for this particular segment. So I know that people, as always, can check out thepleasurechest.com for online shopping and to find out about events in LA and New York and Chicago. And of course, there are the stores in New York, LA, and Chicago. And each of those stores has their own, or each of those cities has their own Twitter account. And all of the Pleasure Chest stores have one big Instagram. Those are pretty easy to find. And Mary, is there anywhere online that people can find you to find out more about your work, either in person or on the internet?
No.
but that's fine.
No, I'm a mystery. But I do teach fairly regularly at the West Hollywood store. So
great.
You can always look there. And, you know, if you've seen Mary with the red hair and the eyeliner, I'm that person.
Awesome.
And, I love to, talk with people after the classes, and I love to share all of this with everyone during the workshops. So I'd love to see everyone there.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Mary, and happy autumn to you.
Yeah, and to you as well.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.